Alright, so tonight, Evangelism Series Part 2. We talked about some things last week about how this is probably the most important thing that we'll ever talk about as a youth group. Was everybody here last week? I think everybody was.
No.
Yes.
You were not.
He wasn't.
I'm just. No one else? Everyone else was here?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I think I
was. I'm going to kind of recap real quick what we talked about last week to kind of introduce us to this one. Last week we talked about how the importance of being a good witness, how if you don't walk your talk as a Christian, you're going to lose your witness. We talked about never, ever, ever giving up on lost people, even when it seems kind of hopeless. Let's see, what else? We talked about planting and watering the seeds. We talked about how it's not a gift, it's not a talent, it's something that we're all called to do. So we need to get out of that mindset that, well, I can't do it, so let someone else do it. Where are you going?
I have to move.
Okay.
Really?
So we talked about that last week, and to kind of introduce tonight, I wanted to get you thinking a little bit and let you know that this series is meant to get your mind spinning. It's meant to, it's really designed to get you to think. And I think one of the real important things, you guys are real intrigued by whatever she's writing. The whole, every one of you is looking over there. She's just writing something.
I'm actually listening.
Good.
I can't keep my mind.
All right. Anyway, one big thing that I want to really focus on tonight especially is that we have to have a daily relationship with God. We have to have the desire to seek what he wants. That way we actually have a clue as to what we're talking about when people raise questions to us. You know, Christians claim to live by the Bible, so obviously we need to know what it says. We need to, you know, be able to interpret it, and to do that, we obviously have to spend time with God. But if we don't, our witness is going to suffer, you know. I wanted to also let you know that there are so many intelligent people out there that are non-believers. They're going to raise questions to you that you may have never heard before. They're going to say things that are going to throw you off. Some of the smartest people in the world, you know, are not believers. So we have to be ready for that. Another thing is there's a lot of people that pick and choose Bible verses out. And they say, well, the Bible says this, so, and then they, you know, fill in the blank. Even the KKK has a couple Bible verses that they kind of live by. And I don't know how they get this interpretation, but they say, like, this is honest. They say, because of this verse, it shows that God doesn't like anyone that's not white. I mean, they seriously say that. So for that reason, we have to have a very good understanding of the context of what the Bible's saying. We have to know exactly what it means. And again, to do that, we have to study it. Yeah?
And to realize that most of what the Bible is talking about happened in the Middle East, and they're probably all not white.
Yeah, well, see, that's a good thing to know. And a lot of people just, they pick and choose a verse here or there. And, you know, there's another thing. Hopefully you guys have never visited this ridiculous site, but there's a site called GodHatesFags.com.
What?
Not supposed to be funny. Don't laugh.
Yeah, that's not funny.
What and where were you?
Huh?
What and where were you,
Matt? What do you mean?
Like, have this
happen. I'm shocked, like,
oh.
Actually,
there's a site, and again, this site, this kind of, you know, group of people, once again, they pick and choose Bible verses, and they say, this shows that God hates fags, so we're going to make a site, .com. And it's kind of ridiculous, but again,
homosexuality is a sin.
That's a whole other topic, but the same. God doesn't hate
so
homosexuals.
Are you going to make a group that's anti-liars?
I mean, that is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. I mean, there are sin. I mean, that's like saying God doesn't love me, you know, because I said a cuss word the other day. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same thing.
You know, so God hates me.
GodHatesLiars.com. Yeah. No, you don't see that stuff. So anyway, be prepared for that, because think about like what we're doing later with the non-believing thing. If somebody says, hey, well, the Bible says this, and throws in your face, if you have no idea what you're going to say back, it's not going to be a good witness. So something for sure to think about. I also wanted to share a couple of my most effective, I would say, evangelism times in my life. One of them, I was with a friend. We went out to eat for dinner, And I said, I'll get it, you know, not a big deal, I'll pay for it. And he said, why? You know, I can get my own. And I said, well, my answer might, you might make fun of me for my answer. And he's like, oh, go ahead and tell me. And I said, well, I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm not trying to, you know, do anything but say that I serve a God that wants me to serve other people. And so I always look for opportunities to serve other people, and I just felt like buying her dinner. That's all I said to him. And it was a big example, a big witness. Sometimes we kind of lose that, how simple it could be to do random acts of kindness for people and be a big witness. But definitely something to think about. Yeah, Todd?
I got something that goes along those lines.
Evangelism.
Pay attention.
A group of me and my friends, we got to eat quite a bit. And before each meal, you know, we always say a prayer and, you know, thank God for the food and all. And you don't see that much, especially in people, you know, in their mid-20s or whatever. And there's been several occasions where, you know, after somebody else has left, you know, they're going, walking by our table, they stop by and, you know, they've said something to us. You know, hey, I saw you guys praying, I think that's great and all. And, you know, then we, you know, we strike a conversation with them. And so, I mean, you know, just going along the lines of the simplicity of what your outreach could be in your evangelism. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as praying before our food has given us opportunities to talk to people before.
Yep. I've heard that story a lot from different people, actually, about the praying thing. So, were you disagreeing or you had something?
No, I was just saying, Carol and I, we do it with kids when we go out to eat. We get that a lot too.
Yeah.
People that come by, like, I think it's really cool if you guys are playing with
your family and stuff. Never know who's watching. What?
Well, I never.
He's got a brain freeze, don't worry about it.
DQ something different?
No, I meant like, me and my family pray at the table and no one's ever said anything to
us. Doesn't mean they don't hear you or not thinking about
That's
it.
Right.
Nice. A couple other things. Maybe sending notes of encouragement to people, and this is something that may surprise you, I don't know. Some of my most effective, I'd say 90% of my most effective talks with people about God have been over the internet. So like some of you that might think, well, maybe too shy, maybe I don't know a lot about the Bible, so I shouldn't talk to them face to face. Well, if you're talking to someone on Facebook chat or AIM or anything like that, you have time, like when they reply, to like think about what you're gonna say. And I mean, some of my most memorable and great conversations about God have been over that. It's also a lot easier to bring it up, like, hey, by the way, can I pray for you about something? You know, it's a lot easier to type it than say it. But anyway, just an idea, just a thought. Next thing I wanted to share, there was actually a question in the question box, which I hope you guys put more questions in there because there's not a lot. But someone asked this particular question that goes along with the lesson. The question is, will I have to know everything about the Bible on Judgment Day? It makes me nervous. That was the question. And here's the thing. I definitely don't think you have to know everything about the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to know word for word all of this, or you're going to have a Bible quiz when you get to the pearly gates. You know, like, if you can answer this question, you get in. Who is the prophet Elijah? You know, you're not going to be quizzed. You're not going to have those kind of questions. But one thing that you will have, that I truly believe you will have, is that when you stand before the Creator, you will have to answer to the question of, what did you do with what I gave you to lead people to me? What did you do with what I gave you? And, you know, for some of us, that might be kind of scary to think about. But, again, let that encourage us instead of making us upset or something, you know. Let's use all the things God's given us, including the Bible itself, including the mouths that he's given us, like Moses we talked about last week. Let's use all the things he's given us to bring lost people back to him. It's what we're called to do. Before we get into the Bible verses and the other thing, I also wanted to make this point clear about the series that we're doing. Later on, which fill Eric in on this, later on I'm going to flip into a non-believing person.
I think I was here, actually.
Oh, you were?
Sunday I was here.
I thought you were here. That was, it's kind of weird, but yeah, because we did the sheep among wolves, the hair.
Yes.
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 Right. Yes.
If you don't know me, then I have awesome hair.
Oh, they'll know you.
They will.
People in podcast land, you will know Eric very soon.
On YouTube.
Anyway, when we do that, when I raise questions as a non-believer would, that's designed for us, obviously, to learn how to handle those situations, how to answer certain questions and that kind of thing, make you feel more comfortable. But I don't want that to be our only focus through this, because as a Christian, your main purpose is your mission to initiate yourself preaching who God is and what Christ has done for your life. And it's not an easy thing, as we talked about last week, but we need to initiate that instead of just saying, well, now I can answer tough questions, but if you don't go out and do anything about it, it's not going to be good. And one last thing to encourage you. I encourage you guys to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want you to kind of like maybe just pick out one even and just really focus as you're reading on how Jesus responded to people when they would ask questions, when they would make fun of him or call him out. Just in your mind, think about how he responded to those people, which is obviously the same way we should respond to people. But that leads us to the Bible verse of the day. The first one I actually didn't put up here because the first one's one that you probably know, and there's not enough room on the board. But this one's Matthew 28. It's called the Great Commission. You ever heard of it?
Yep.
The Great Commission. What's it say? Anyone know? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them to command. Exactly. Now, as one preacher put it, it's called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's something we are commissioned to do.
Commissioned.
Oh yeah, that other quote I was going to share. You might have heard this. You can't spell God, good news, or gospel without the word
go.
Oh. We have to go. We can't just be couch potatoes our whole life.
God.
Exactly. That's so inspirational. You should write your own blog. Now, here's the other verses. I'll move this out of the way. First one is Romans 10, 14, and 15. It's up there on the board. It says, how can they, I paraphrase the first couple lines. How can they believe in the one that they have never heard about? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, the first part of this is obviously saying, how can someone know about Christ if you don't tell them? But I want to take it a step further. There's a lot of people, in fact, 99% of people in your schools have heard who Jesus is. They've heard that he loves you. What would Jesus do? They've heard he died for you. They hear those things, okay? So they at least acknowledge who he is and who you think he is. But for them to really understand who Jesus is, how are they going to know if you don't live it? How are they going to know if you don't tell them who he is, what he's done for your life?
That's a very awkward thing, actually. It's called World War II. It's terrible jokes. Terrible jokes.
Anyway, I don't know about that. Now, last part of this verse. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I want to talk about this verse. First of all, this was written in Isaiah. First of all, that's why he said, as it is written. How many of you are one of those people that can't stand feet? One? That's it? I've really never understood this. I've never understood it, but there's like, say you have your socks off and you put your foot on someone, they're like, get your foot away from me. See? There's people that are freaked out by feet.
Oh, if Matt was here, he would scream.
Yeah? Oh, there you go. You're lucky we found that out after the mission trip. Said you're lucky we found that out after the mission trip. That's cute. I've got those socks. Anyway, what do you usually think of, even if you're not a non-foot person? What do you think of when you think of feet? You think of nasty?
Stinky.
Stinky, gross. You think maybe they hurt? They got stuff on them. Corns and warts and bruises. Ew.
Toe jam.
Yeah. All right, well, I want you to think about that. and read this verse again. Serious time. Think about that. Read the verse again. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, people in the Bible, back in the Bible times, did they have shoes?
No, they had sandals.
They had sandals or no feet, or no shoes.
How
they
get around?
Yeah. Sandals or no shoes at all, okay? They did a lot of, listen, they did a lot of work outside. They did a lot of walking. They were in the dirt, the mud all day long. The feet, especially in Bible times, even more than now, were the most disgusting part of the whole body. That is why they had a big emphasis on washing the feet of people, okay? So if you think about that verse one more time, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring in news. To me, that means that you can have kind of a messed up past. You could have done terrible at evangelizing your whole life, but your feet can be beautiful in God's eyes if you start right now bringing the good news. So,
or stumps.
That's why I love that verse. Or stumps. How beautiful are the stumps of those who bring good news.
Beautiful.
Yes. All right, last two verses of the night. Back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 33, 8 and 9. It says this, and this is God speaking in this part. When I see the wicked are going to die and you do not speak up to help them change their ways, I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn them and speak up and they don't listen, they will die in their sin, but you will have saved yourself. I think there's not a single more, there's not a single passage in the Bible that is more frightening, I think, than that. Because, again, read that first verse. Basically, he's saying, if you know Joe Schmo at school, and you've never, ever talked to him about Christ, he has no idea you're a Christian, no conversation whatsoever, and Joe Schmo dies in a car wreck, look at that verse. I will hold you accountable for his blood. You didn't speak up to him.
So he'll account everybody.
That doesn't speak up.
It's not like he hasn't heard it, it's just you haven't tried.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now,
so it's not really your fault, it's just it's still his fault.
What if you don't know Joe Schmo? Are you still accountable?
Yes.
No.
Well, I don't know if that's, I think that's talking to pretty much anyone that you come in contact with.
Oh, I do.
That's kind of what
like the person at Kroger that you don't know, I don't think that's what it's really referring to, but people that you know, anybody you're in contact with.
They've seen more than once.
Mm-hmm, sure. Pretty much.
Okay.
The good news is, though, look at the rest of it. If you do warn them and speak up, and they don't listen, which is very possible, a lot of people don't listen to us, they will die in their sin, as before, but you will have saved yourself. So as we talked about last week, you know, we're called to plant and water the seeds. We're called to, you know, do the very best we can, but you will get rejected a lot. But that doesn't should not change our mission, our motive of what we're doing. Yeah.
How do you know if they're, like, not already Christian? Or...
You get to know them. Build relationships with people. And another thing is if you come up to somebody and you're like, oh, you're a Christian, cool, well, see ya. I don't need to talk to you then. You know, it's not about that. It's about loving everyone. Because there's a lot of Christians. You notice I'm doing this? A lot of Christians.
I know a
church.
Person who's...
I know Jesus. What?
Like, Sikhism, I think is what it's called.
Sikhism?
Yeah, Sikhism.
Where is who?
Some guy in Sikhism, something with a little on his...
All right, any comments about this part? Hopefully these verses are special while we put them up here to really remember them as we go about the week. Now it's time to flip. Whoa.
Awesome.
Non-believer, this is really a test because we've talked about some of these things in the past, so see if you're listening or not.
This is so hard.
My favorite target's right over here. Wow. And there's only five. Okay, now there's six.
I'm gonna, like, run back.
I don't know why, because you
now there are six of you. For all you podcast people, I am a non-believer now. Here we go. You six over here first. How would you respond to this? Respond to me when I say, I do not understand how you can believe that there's a God when it's obvious that evolution is real. Pin drop.
Go on. Why?
Because they have they do have such good
explain this farther. I don't understand how.
Like, we have all this information about evolution, and I don't understand how you think God is real, because God made Adam and Eve, but, you know, if we came from other species, there's no way that God's real because of that. I think they have been proven.
Maybe they coexist.
So if Darwin...
Hey, we're not. I'm not talking to you.
Hey, come over on this team.
You can come over here if you want.
I'll talk.
See, kind of the point is to single you out a little bit, not make such big groups, but that's all right. What were you going to say?
That's fine.
What were you going to say?
What if Darwin never existed and no one ever thought of that there's evolution? What would you think then?
It doesn't matter. I mean, you're telling me that some guy existed from however many thousands of years ago, and we know that Darwin did exist.
And it's also been proven in several different instances that Jesus existed.
Yeah.
Well, there could have been a man named Jesus, which I could see that with stories from the past, but there's no like facts from the Bible, and there is from evolution.
There's no facts from the Bible.
What?
How can you believe evolution when, in order for a single cell, the very minute organism on Earth, takes 250 proteins to exist?
Huh?
And there are, and it is one in like a billion chances that those proteins just happen to form together. And you need to do that at least 250 times to create one cell. Your body's made of billions and billions of cells. That's a billion and billion possibility that things just happened.
Well,
I think not.
You're saying that God just happened to make us, so what's the difference? Oh.
That was actually did not make any sense whatsoever. Congratulations, you should leave.
Huh?
God just happened to make us.
Why do they teach
exactly
you?
Exactly what you just said.
Hey, tell me, we're supposed to learn stuff in school, right? Well, they teach us about evolution in school. They don't teach us about Jesus.
Because we're respecting religions. This is America. Also known as religion.
Well, I'm pretty sure that if there was a God, he would make himself known a lot better than writing a book to us. And we have actual facts from evolution. I mean, there's actual fossils, there's proving on down the line what we came from.
Why could it just be a rock carving?
Am I the only one who believes they kind of coexist in their own unique way? Anyone else, maybe? No,
what?
I don't think so.
You want to talk?
Maybe a little bit. So, the foundation of evolution is in the scientific theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you deal with like hypotheses and you test it, and then you ultimately come to a conclusion, right? Well, all the research that I've ever came across can never actually pinpoint advancement of a species through natural selection. It always comes down to a species actually loses genetic information through microevolution, not macroevolution, which is a completely different thing. Very true, but science has never been able to show, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that any species has ever advanced into something else.
What you're saying, though, is proving my point, because science has also never shown that God created us.
That's very true. So you always rely on science?
Hmm?
You always rely on science?
That's all we can live by, instead of just making up that there's a higher power that just made you out of nothing. Number one thing not to say, no matter how mean I am to you.
Well, he just flipped back. We're persuading
you. Nope.
No, I will
you're
be really
picky.
I will be the best one
to save your life.
I know your response to this, but I have another point.
Okay.
I've heard that evolution started, there's a theory that evolution started from crystals and like moisture forming on the crystals,
uh-huh.
And then that joined with another crystal, and that joined with another crystal, and another crystal. well, where did the crystal come from to begin with?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where did the single cell come from?
Oh!
I don't know. But you also can't tell me how God created you. You don't know either. So I'd rather go with something that's modern and something that we think about now instead of 2,000 years ago that people probably made up.
Well, let's go back to Ken then.
Why do you have to be so stingy?
You're the one being stingy. I actually have things to say, and you're just saying, well, believe in the Bible. That's being stingy.
Here's the Bible's wrong.
So what exactly do you believe? Is that curiosity?
I'm saying it's hard for me to believe in a God because of evolution, because...
Well, what have you heard that makes you think this?
It's what I've grown up on.
What do you mean? Explain.
I've learned exactly about evolution.
I want to know exactly.
I'm telling you. I believe in evolution. I've grown up...
Evolution.
Why?
I'm good at it.
You know why they call them the Darwin Awards, right?
No. Darwin Awards?
Oh, we could know that.
Why?
I'll explain that later.
Yeah, I just wanted to read something I found interesting. No, it never really gives a specific time as what it meant by day. So this could be billions of years. So...
I'm telling you right now, Eric, that by reading me a Bible verse is not going to do any good because I know it says created Adam and Eve, but we have proof that evolution was not Adam and Eve.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
6 day happens with the seventh there.
6 day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, pause, and let the birds fly above the earth across the fences of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds. And every living bird according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. Bam.
Every living thing.
So you believe in that book, and I believe in other books that are modern. That's what we came to.
Is Star really important?
There's no, it does not book really say that the world just started and humans were there. It says there is something before humans.
I know, but I don't believe that.
Which would back up exactly what you're saying about evolution.
If I believe that, I wouldn't believe
they
in evolution.
They coexist.
My book says that we were made out of little organisms or bacteria. And
yes, and who made this organisms and bacteria?
Your book's right and mine's wrong. That's what you're saying?
Why do you have to rely on books that are so modern?
Answer me this. Who made that?
Who made what?
Did this magically appear?
Did that magically appear?
No, it was made.
Right. It was made. How?
Yes.
By man. So was evolution.
Right.
Yes.
But again, evolution is modern.
Evolution is modern. It's 200 years old.
Why do you have to rely on books that are so modern? Like, pretty much everything that we ever
get with the times, Grandpa.
I think it's something to rely on is after history.
Get with the times. Alright, I'm sick of being a non-Christian. I'm gonna flip.
Christian.
I like what I said. Because
we persuaded you.
Now's my go.
Hold on. What?
I should be the non-Christian. Yeah, I want someone else to pray. Not because I'm good at being a non-Christian, but because I know what they would say.
Because you are one.
Well, that's good. You know what they would say.
Jesus doesn't like you, babe. I'm sorry.
That is not very nice.
All right, a couple of things. Here are some things that I would do in that situation. Some things we talked about a while back, but the very first thing is, again, when you're being real careful with how you're approaching it to them, the very first thing I would say when it comes to evolution, I'd say, you know what? There is a chance that evolution was real. I personally don't believe it, but there's nothing in the Bible that is clearly enough that says we did not come from this or this or that. It does say we were, you know, made according to its kind species, but it's not 100% clear that there was no evolution. With that said, if there was a Big Bang, if we came from certain different species, I still believe with all my heart that God made that happen. Evolution is a theory after theory after theory that changes and changes and changes. Even Charles Darwin said that he no longer believed what he originally came up with. Okay, there's different kinds of evolution. There's a lot of absolute things in the world that we don't know the absolute truth for. But one thing I do know is that the Bible tells me God made me in his image. And me personally, I don't think that was a bacteria ball. I think it was a man. But even if it was, and we formed this way over time, then so be it. It's still from God. Let's see what else.
It's kind of what I said.
Kind of?
I tried to.
Well, keep in mind the things I'm saying back is not really saying you're completely wrong. I'm just to practice because they will fight back. They'll fire back at you.
Right.
And even when they're being mean, you know, you got to simmer down now. Yeah. But focus on the things that you know.
Next question.
I'm excited. Sorry.
Good old evolution. Another big thing is that it should not be a choice of whether you believe in God or evolution. There's no way, which I think you were trying to say, was that what you meant when coexists?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that any issue should separate you from believing in God, you know, something like that. But those are some things I would say. That's obviously a very, very long conversation. And again, you got to know your stuff, know your facts, not just about the Bible, but... And you remember that one big thing I told you when we talked about evolution? It was like a couple months ago or something. We said that there's more biblical evidence than any other writing by far in the history of the world. I mean, there's like 6,000 Greek manuscripts of the Bible. On top of that, hundreds of thousands of other writings of people writing about the events that were going on about Jesus that didn't make the Bible. You know what I mean? You know, how's this for a fact? The most writings, apart from the Bible, as far as manuscripts that we've collected in our life, was about 600 compared to 6,000. See the difference? So we think of things like Aristotle, Plato, and all those people, we learn all these things from them throughout written history, which evolution doesn't have written history. That is a big stat that you can tell them, kind of get them thinking a little bit. They're going to make you think a little bit, and you got to make them think a little bit. So, any questions about that?
Do I win?
What do you win? A soul? Good job.
No, a jewel.
That's one person.
You didn't win my soul. Just kidding, you did.
Jeez.
You had me at hairdo.
Yes. I win.
All right, last one of the day. This one is one you'll probably be asked more than anything else, but focusing over here now. Sit over there, boy.
I'm on both sides. I'm like one.
Okay. This one's a simple question. It just deals with, how can you believe in God or in a good God if there's so many bad things happening?
Oh.
God gave us free will.
I hate that question.
Free will.
Are doing that?
What?
He's not doing the bad stuff.
You will.
But you tell me that God's good, right? You tell me that.
Yeah.
Yet, why would God, a good God, allow murder and all those bad things in the world?
He doesn't.
How does he not?
He gave us the choice
obstacles.
To do whatever we want.
Obstacles. To see
us. Yeah, to face challenges.
Popsicles.
You just killed it. I would have totally agreed with
you. That brings back women.
Can you give me a
cherry flavor? Can I burner on that really quick?
Burn!
What? So you're saying God kills people for no particular reason other than to make sure that you're a good Christian.
I said he's saying murder.
What do you think over here? You're telling me God is good. I should serve God, even though... Friends and family of mine have died terrible, gruesome deaths, have lived lonely lives their whole lives.
You're just relying on the bad parts.
Yeah.
Well, I'm relying on the bad part because I haven't seen any good. I haven't seen any good. You've had a lot better life than I have.
The
Colts won the Super Bowl a while back. That was pretty good.
Well, I'm a Bears fan.
Bears.
Well, good luck with that.
Just kidding, I'm a Colts fan. I'm a Bears fan. Just kidding, I'm a Colts fan. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, no wonder he's a
non-believer.
Anything else over there? it's easy for you who've had a better life than I have to say, I know more about you than you think.
Stay away from my children.
That's a Sunday school answer, brother.
God is good. God exists.
You need more people around you.
So if you pray for me, I'll be fine.
I'm obviously going to feel better.
Todd's going to comment.
You'll feel better. You claim that I have lived a better life or have had a good life.
Yeah.
That is quite to the contrary. A lot of bad things have happened in my life. I lost my father at a young age. I've done some things that I'm not proud of. But in my time of need, I knew that God was there at all times. When I needed somebody to fall back on, to listen, I knew he was there. And he's there at all times. At 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the evening, whenever you need, he'll be there. And he provides you opportunities to grow, whether that be through going through trials or tribulations. He gives you those opportunities to rely on him, to know that he will pull you through those situations when you do face those, to build your character, to build your strength, to build your trust in him.
Many Christians meet God in prison.
So even though you claim I have a good life, I haven't. It's better because of God and because of what he's done for me.
It's
true. Huh? Oh. All right. That's a key point to... I flipped it, by the way. That's a key point to end on, because in every one of these questions and situations that you deal with, every time you want to personalize it. Not personalize it to where you're attacking their personal life, but making it personal for you. And even if you personally have not had a bad life, and you know for a fact that Joe Schmo's had a way worse life than you, you can still personalize it, and you still got to know your facts. As Todd did, it was very personal for him, which would really make the person stop and think what they were saying, which is one of the biggest keys of what we're trying to do. Yeah. I'm sure somebody's named Joe Schmo. This concludes our broadcast. Thank you. I love you, Odie.